to Perek Yibez, Yibez, Pasuk Aleph, Masa, Devar Hashem, Al Yisrael, Num Hashem, and Machol, does the sound okay by you? It's good? Okay, good. Okay, so we're learning over here, Perek Yibez, Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk Yibez, Masa, Devar Hashem, Al Yisrael, Num Masa, Devar Hashem. Masa means a vision. It's one of the 10 words of Nevuah, one of the different expressions of Nevuah. And, okay, and what is the Masa? Num Hashem Noite. Here we have over here a very elaborate, a little bit of elaboration. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here it's described as he spreads out the heavens, the Yoseid Aretz, he establishes the earth, the Yoitzer Ruach Adam, the Kibur Hashem creates the spirit of man within him. Okay, very beautiful expression, dividing the world into three categories, the Shemayim, the Aretz, and man. Ordinarily, when we focus on this world, we break the world down into two categories. There's the Shemayim and the Eretz. HaShemayim, Shemayim laHashem. The Ha'aretz, Nosan, Levnei, Adam. And here in this pasuk, we break it down into three categories. There's the Shemayim, there's the Eretz, and then there is the Ruach Adam Bekirbo, the spirit of man within his body, I guess. Pasuk basically,
similar language is what we say in Olenu. Right?
We say in Elena,
the Yosef Eretz,
okay. Moshe Yikro Ba Shemayim. So there we say Moshe Yikro Ba. Very interesting, because there we also break it down into three categories. But we come to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Yikro Ba Shemayim Mimal. There's the Shemayim, there's the Eretz, and there is the location of Hashem. And here it's the Shemayim and the Eretz, and there is Adam. So it's interesting, it's, if you put the two together, you would have a total of four. Shemayim v'aretz, Hashem, man. Interesting, very good point you made. Very interesting connection to Aleinu. Pasuk Beis, Hinei Anochi Sam Es Yerushalayim Saf Ral L'chol Ha'amim Sav Hashem. Hashem says, I will set, Sam means to set, Yerushalayim Saf Ral. What do those two words mean? So Saf means Saf here in the Mitzudos Sion says it means a basin. And Rahal is a very popular word. I shouldn't say popular, but it's a known word. It means poison. The Kois Hatar Ela, the cup of poison. What about toxic cup? Ramchal has an expression for this. What do you call the expression? The toxic cup, is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, so we have this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lo'aslava will punish our enemies. He will give them to drink from the toxic cup.
Actually, that's not his translation. So I guess there are other...
How does he translate them?
A cup of weakness.
A cup of weakness. Okay, so the Mitzvah Stavit, look at the Mitzvah Stavit. He says over here the word Ra'al. Ra'al means in Yonoi Sam Ha-Memis, poison. I mean, that's a pretty common expression. Mu'milashon Yayin Tarela, the Kos Ha-Tarela. Here's the Yayin of poison. Ha-Metamtem Es Ha-Lev Me'roya Tichunasa, which causes the heart to weaken due to its poison, due to its toxicity. Further, toxicity. Okay, l'chol ha'amim, I will set Yerushalayim as a basin. Now, saf, if not for the mitzudos, I would have assumed the word saf means a threshold. A threshold means like a stepping stone, a threshold. But that's not what it says. In the Mitzudos, at least, he says it means a safe, it means a basin.
Yeah,
it means a...
closer to a safe cell, right?
Right, with a lamed. Normally the word saf by itself means the threshold.
Right.
The threshold. But for whatever reason, the Mitzudos stuff, it says that the word saf in this context means a basin, a container of poison, l'chol ha'amin saviv, for all of the nations saviv. The Gam al Yehuda here, Bamavatsar al Yerushalayim, and furthermore, Yehuda, al Yehuda here, Bamavatsar al Yerushalayim, Yehuda will be in a siege upon Yerushalayim. What does that mean? I don't know. Let's give it one moment. Let's read another pasuk. Vahaya, we'll just get right to the pasuk, we'll come back and explain everything in a moment. Vahaya
v'Yehuda. It doesn't say Yehuda will be the number. Sorry, v'gam al Yehuda.
V'gam al Yehuda yeh b'matzar al Yerushalayim.
No, v'gam al Yehuda. I'll make saf ra'al l'chol ha'amim saviv.
Okay, so you want to go learn.
V'gam al Yehuda.
V'gam al Yehuda. Okay, I'm correct. Thank you. So the Mitzvah stuff, it says, v'gam al Yehuda yeh ha'saf ra'al hazeh yeh. Next, Gam al Yehuda asher yiyya b'matzor al Yerushalayim. I'm reading the Mitzvot. Ki haboim lotzor al Yerushalayim. Hichricho ila anshe ar Yehuda lavoi.
They will be a matzor, but they'll still have a safra.
Okay, we'll see. Okay, well, it will still be a basin of poison for our enemies, even though we will be in a state of siege. Okay, we'll see. Let's just read the Pesukim very quickly, so we'll just get a background, and then we'll go through the Mefarshim in detail. Pasuk Gimel. V'haya, it will be Vayamachu Asimes Yushlaim Evan Ma'amosa L'chol Ha'amin. A stone Ma'amosa. What is the word Ma'amosa? Mitzudos Tzion says Ti'inas Ma'asa Kveda, the load. A stone that is very, very heavy. It's very hard to move. Kumo Avi Hemis Aleichem, my father, he burdened you. Now in the Gemara, there is something called the Evan. There's a sugya, very interesting sugya called the Evan Mas. I forgot the term.
Evan
Moas. No, that's a pasuk, but there's a Tumah V'Tahara. In the laws of Tumah V'Tahara, there's something called a person, he sits down on a stone.
Maskit.
No. It's a very, very, very interesting sugya. It's a weird sugya. It doesn't appear often in the Chas. Evan Masama. I forgot the sugya. There's a sugya, you have a very large stone. It's a very interesting sugya in the Gemara. It appears only a few places in Shas, where if you have a very, very heavy stone and a person who is tame sits down on that stone, the law is whatever is underneath the stone becomes tame. I forgot the exact term. Okay, and it comes from this word over here. We'll come across it. We're going to come across it, hopefully. But in the context of the Gemara, when this word means it is a stone that cannot be moved. It cannot be moved by natural means. You need many people to participate in moving the stone, or you need to use some form of technology, a wedge, or some type of tool to move the stone from its place. Here it says, again, in Pasuk Gimel, V'hoye v'yemru, asim ha'ol said this, Yushalayim, even a stone, ma'amosa, it will be a stone that cannot be budged. It's something that you cannot avoid. You cannot move. If you want to take this for all of the nations, let's go further, kol oy me seha, all those who attempt to move it, in this context, it means all the people that are going to try. We take that same word, the word ma'as, mem ayin, men, the mem ayin samach, and we do the same thing here. Anyone that's going to try to move it, now here's again the same principle that I told you many times. You have a word in Hebrew, and you manipulate its vowels, and by doing so, the word changes, goes from one extreme to the other. It starts out meaning a stone that cannot be moved. And when you manipulate its vowels, it means you're going to attempt to move it. You're making an attempt to move it from its location. It's the same exact word, but depending on the vowels, it will either mean it's immovable or it's being moved. So here it says, any nation that makes an attempt to move it, sorot yisoretu, will be gashed, will be cut, will suffer the consequences. V'nes v'ne'esu olecho kol goyei haaretz. Nevertheless, all the nations of the world will gather against it. Okay, we'll come back and see all this in a few moments. Pasuk dalit, one more pasuk. Ba'yoyim ha'chonatei num Hashem akeh, I will smite. Called sus betimahon, every horse with confusion, v'roichvoy bashigoin, and the rider will be smitten with insanity, lashnava shagaga, v'albeis Yehuda efkach es einai, I will open my eyes, v'chol sus ha'amim, all of the horses of the nations, akem ba'iva roin, will be smitten with blindness. Okay, so we have over here first the horse is being smitten with timahon, which means confusion. I'm just loosely translating the words. The rider is being smitten with Shigaon, which I'm going to loosely translate insanity. And then it repeats the horses, in reference to the horses of the nations of the world, they will be smitten with blindness. Okay, so what in the world is going on? Obviously, we are discussing here Melchemes Goig Umagoig.
Right.
All the nations are gathering against Yerushalayim at the end of days. And even before we take a look at the Mefarshim, it's very fascinating that today Yerushalayim is something that no world leader could ignore. That's really what it says. Literally it says that it's like a stone you can't move. Every administration of every state in the world is faced with a dilemma. How do you recognize Yerushalayim? It's just phenomenal. Trump, you know, Trump. He should have had a chavrusa shaft with Jared, and they should learn Zachariah, and maybe they did, and they should come to this pasuk and talks about v'haya v'yaymahu asim es Yerushalayim even ma'amasa l'chol ha'amim. Okay, when you deal with Yerushalayim, it is something which affects every single nation. No one can.
It's irresistible.
No one can budge. No one can budge. No,
and it's beyond that. It's they should. What I think he's saying is, if they had any seichel, they would stay away from it. But they can't. They can't resist.
And they try to eliminate the word over there. Right. Harm it, right? Call all those who try to harm it, to remove it, to dismiss it. What happens to them? They are cut up. They are gashed. They suffer the consequences. Okay, let's see. There's a lot going on over here. There are many different expressions. Obviously, as the first Rashi in Sefer Zechariah reminds us all the time that everything in this sefer is extremely mystical, is esoteric. It is very difficult to wrap your hands around it and have a grasp of what the psukim really mean, and it's subject to interpretation. And let's start now with the Mitzvah Stavid.
The point is, though, that these prophecies are very positive. They're positive. They're
okay,
positive,
I mean,
expression.
Well, it says here that it's a saf ra'al l'chol adam.
Good for us.
Okay, let's hope. That's correct.
That's what it. Every time it says Bayom Ahu, Bayom Ahu, and so on, all these wonderful things.
True.
That will happen to for us in the future, and you see them quoted over and over in the drushes.
Correct. Absolutely. Let's see the Mitzvah Stavit. Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Aleph here, it says Noite Hashemayim. We are now describing Hashem. Noite Hashemayim, Hanoite Es Hashemayim Leforsa. The word Leforsa means to spread. Hashem, He spreads out the heavens. Hamiyaseid es haaretz. Hashem establishes the earth that it does not move. B'yoytzer ruach adam b'kerev guf Hashem, He creates the spirit of man in his body.
Where exactly are you?
The Mitzudas David. The Mitzudas David on page 829. I am on page 829 in the Mitzudas David. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, He creates the spirit of man within the guf of a human being. Uch oimer. What does this pasuk really mean to say? Hoil since the chain hakol sheloi uviyadoi laasais bechol davar kiritzoyne.
This is not the Mitzudas David. The Mitzudas David is something else there.
No.
I'm reading the Mitzudas David on page 829. Pasuk
Aleph. Yeah, Pasuk Aleph that starts off oilacha.
No.
Oh, wait, that's from the previous one.
No.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. That was from the previous
one. No
chapter.
Problem.
Okay.
No problem.
Go ahead.
So again, one more time. Pasuk Aleph, Noite Shamayim, Hashem, He spreads out the heavens. Hanoite es Hashemayim leforso. Leforso means to spread. Hashem, He spreads out the heavens. Hamayaseh es arta shekodesh baruch hu, He establishes the earth. V'yotze ruach ha'odam b'kerev gufoy. So if you go back to the pasuk where it says the word b'kir boy, what does mean b'kir boy? Within it. What's the it? What's the subject? So the Mitzvah says the body. The body is the host of the neshama. Ucho oimer, what's the purpose of this pasuk? What's this introduction telling us about these three different things? Ucho oimer, this means to say, hold since v'chein hakol sheloi, Hashem, everything belongs to Hashem. He has created everything. Uviyadu la'asayis v'chol davar kiritzoinai. Thus, the introduction is, since Hashem created the world, He can do whatever He wants. He has the ability to make changes, to manipulate, to bring about events. He has full authority and full control, full power. Pasuk base. Saf Ral. Okay, we're on page 829. Saf Ra'al. That Yerushalayim is going to be a basin, a container, a utensil, a receptacle. Saf Ra'al, El Mol, towards Ho'amim, Hatsoifim Olecha, that congregate against it. So we are describing that Melchemes Chagamagog. Everyone's going to come together. It's going to be like one big receptacle. Everyone's going to come and enter within its midst, within its environment, its surrounding. They're going to come there. It's going to be a big, big bowl, saviv, tiyeh kesefel, like a basin, mimashke hamemis. Now, he's explaining what's the sefel. It's not like what I didn't say correctly. It's going to be like one big basin of liquid that has poison, and there'll be plenty to drink. Everyone that will come and take a sip of this liquid that is in this basin will die. Kesefel, a basin, mimashke hamemis, in the basin is poison, liquid poison. Shekol hashoyse mimenu yamus, anyone that drinks will die. Cain likewise, so to yichlu v'yitamu kol hatsoivim al Yerushalayim. The metaphor is, all those people, all those nations that will gather around Yerushalayim will die. They will die as if they've drinking, have had a drink of the poison. Next words, v'gam al Yehuda, page, now page 830, on the next page, v'gam al Yehuda, hasaf haral hazeh yeh gam al Yehuda, asher yeh b'matzor al Yerushalayim. Now what does that mean, on Yehuda? Ki haboyim lotzur al Yerushalayim hichrichu li'anshe ar Yehuda lovay alayhem bi'ezrasam lotzur al o'ir. Very strange. Those that are coming to besiege the city are going to need hichrichu la'anshe ar Yehuda, the cities of Yehuda. This is not Yerushalayim. These are the cities of Yehuda. Lavo imohem be'ezrasam lotzur al ho'ir. V'gam heima, they as well, yilku bitchila im ho'amin. Now, here's the big dilemma. The people of Yehuda, v'gam al Yehuda, are these Jews or are these non-Jews? What in the world here is going on? Throughout Tanakh, whenever we make mention of the word Yehuda, it almost always means Klal Yisrael, the good people. And not only does it mean, it means, and even if you'll tell me that, you know, unfortunately, amongst our own ranks, there are some evil people, there are some sinners, there are some Bali Avera, Oivdei Avodah Zarah. But usually that's, we use the word Yisrael. When we have a contrast between the word Yisrael and Yehuda, Yisrael usually alludes to the Aseres HaShvatim, who were primarily Oivdei Avodah Zarah. And Yehuda primarily refers to the good Torah, true, traditional Jews who are servants of Hashem. But not in this pasuk, because this pasuk it says, V'gam al Yehuda yeh, V'gam al Yehuda. Also Yehuda, meaning, according to the way that, at least according to the Mitzvah David, the nations of the world are coming to attack Yerushalayim. Outside of Yerushalayim are cities. He's adding a word into the pasuk. Orei Yehuda. He's not discussing the people. He's adding. Look again. The third line. The third line is. What's the second line? Ki haboim lotzur al Yerushalayim. The nations of the world that are arriving to lay siege to Yerushalayim, they cannot do it alone. They need assistance. From whom will they get assistance? From the people who live in the cities that surround Yerushalayim.
The Jews.
I don't know. It doesn't say. It doesn't say who they are. You can say whatever you want to say. It says the Goyim, the Umay Sa'ilam, that are coming to lay siege and to make trouble for Yerushalayim are going to need assistance. From whom will they gain assistance? From the people who live in the Orei Yehuda. Do not confuse the Orei Yehuda with Yerushalayim. The Umay Sa'ilam are coming to attack Yerushalayim. And around Yerushalayim are Orei Yehuda. and these cities will be providing support and assistance so that the Ummah Yisraelim can achieve success in laying siege to Yerushalayim. And these individuals or these cities that are participating in this in giving assistance, they will suffer the same horrible fate as the Ummah Yisraelim. They will also have a drink, make a lechayim, from the kois hatarela, from the poison, and perish.
Why would the Ari Yehuda want to do that?
To attack Yerushalayim.
Okay, I don't know. Let's see. One thing I do not know. Let's see. I don't know. So you can say one of two things. Okay, you can say many things, but you can say that the people living in the Ari Yehuda, maybe they're not Jews. Maybe they're Goyim. Yerushalayim is exclusively you're talking about the modern, you're talking about the modern world, you're talking about the 21st century. But let's just read the psukim. Okay, I'll tell you, just one thing at a time. We have over here, this is what it says. Let's read the words again. Yiyah b'matzor al Yerushalayim. These are very hard words to translate. And the way he translates it is false. Ki aboim lotzor Yerushalayim, those that are coming to lay siege to Yerushalayim, which refers to the Ummah Yisraelim, hichrichu, they are forced, they have a desperate need for help, for assistance. And who will be those that will provide this assistance? La Anshei Orei Yehuda, the people who live in the cities of Yehuda that surround Yerushalayim, that Lavo Imohem, they should participate, come with them, be'ezra son, and provide assistance, lotsur al ho'ir. And the pasuk is saying, ga v'gam hema yilku bischila im ha'amim, they will also be smitten, they will also perish from the poison, the saf Hata Saf Ra'al. There's plenty of poison available for everyone. There is no shortage of poison available to punish all of the evildoers, including the people of the Anshei Orei Yehuda, who are assisting the people, the Ummah Yisraelim. Okay, it's powerful stuff. Okay, now if you want to go wax Jewish, you know, I would say, you know, who today are our worst enemies? Our worst enemies today? Jews.
These fifth columnists.
Okay, the American Jews, the Democrats, many of the irreligious, self-hating Jews throughout the world, especially in America, are our worst enemy. What?
And in Israel too.
Okay, in Israel also. So if you want to go say that there are people who live in the Anshei Yehuda, what's the Anshei Yehuda? The Anshei Yehuda, the little cities all over the world. Whoever said that the word Anshei, that Yehuda, the Mitzvah stuff is adding in, it means the Orei Yehuda. He added a word into the pasuk. But by extension, it doesn't just mean the Orei Yehuda. It means people who make believe that they represent Yehuda. Jews, Miyuchasim, who unfortunately have fallen far, far away from tradition, and unfortunately have aligned themselves with politicians and people in power that are seeking our harm. And they need their vote and they need their encouragement. Okay, there are a dime a dozen of self-hating Jews throughout the world that lobby various elected officials to do harm to the Jewish people. Not to move the embassy to Yerushalayim, not to give the state of Israel assistance, financial assistance, not to defend them from resolutions that are made in the United Nations. Okay, when all the Arab nations, they make a resolution in the UN to condemn Israel, so we hope and yearn that the United States should veto, should condemn, should make a statement that this is outrageous. But guess what? There are many self-hating Jews throughout the world that encourage or call up the President of the United States and say, no, 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 no. You also should vote against Israel. You also should vote. You also should allow these nasty comments and resolutions and laws and whatever these things, these censorships. They encourage it. That's what the pasuk over here means. That in our day and age...
Except
yeah,
that isn't what he says.
What do you mean isn't what it says?
It's not what the Radak is saying.
That Radak, what do you mean Mitsudas
started? I mean Mitsudas, and I see
why not?
Others also, that they were forced
Who says that? No, hichrichu, hichrichu, no, it means...
That's how you translate it.
Hichrichu means that the umois ha'olam, this is the way I understood it. I may have
said the goyim were forced?
The goyim could not do it.
That's not how it seems to be.
They forced them.
No.
Be'ezrasam. Okay, I hear what you're saying. You're saying is that they were coerced. But if they were coerced, then why does it say that they're punished? They did nothing wrong. So what it seems to be saying is that the Ummah Yisraelim could not have done this without the support of the self-hating Jews. If the entire Am Yisrael was united in their love for Eretz Yisrael and the benefit of Eretz Yisrael, then the Ummah Yisraelim could never dare go and do what they've done. It's because, unfortunately, our very own people are helping them. That's the reason. Go back and talk about Obama's administration. Okay, fine. That's much different. Okay. Go back to Obama's administration. Obama treated Israel like garbage,
right,
to a large degree. Not totally. You can't say you can't. You have to be makir toiv. You have to be makir toiv where he deserves bracha. He very much did assist in helping them with the Iron Dome. That cannot be denied. United States, the Obama administration was very instrumental in assisting with facilitating the development of the Iron Dome.
For their own interests.
All right, listen, whatever. But you have to be very careful. You can't be a total coffee type. But Obama administration was extremely nasty. And especially at the very, very end, remember when Netanyahu came to speak with the Iran deal, when Netanyahu came to speak in the Capitol, joint session in the Capitol, and he came to speak, and Obama snubbed him. He didn't acknowledge anything, and Netanyahu passionately spoke about the sakana of Iran and how under no condition can he enter into this deal?
Saying on his way out of office, he messed with Israel at the UN.
Correct. Okay, there were many. So, how can Obama do this? You know how Obama could do this?
Yeah, I know.
It's only because there are many left-wing Jews in this country
and in his own administration,
Jewish people that are encouraging him to do this and helping him do this.
And working right now to change the definition of anti-Semitism. It says now if you're anti-Israel, you're anti-Zion, anti-Jew, they're changing, they want to drop that out. That you can be anti-Israel, not be anti-Semitic.
That's a terrible thing.
Of course.
Terrible
thing.
Okay, so that's Biden. Biden.
It was only recently that definition was adopted under Pompeo.
So who's facilitating all of this? Jews! Jews, the Goyim could not do what they did if they did not have the encouragement, the assistance, the participation of the Jews themselves in doing these things. So according to what you're reading over here in the Mitzvah, this is exactly what it says. It says that here we are, Yemos HaMashiach, here we are, we're dealing with Melchemes Goy Gumagoy. Melchemes Goy Gumagoy doesn't just mean one-dimensional Melchemes Goy Gumagoy where there's a military war. Melchemes Goy Gumagoy is multidimensional. And you're living now in a world where there's this opposition. The nations of the world are uniting their hate towards Yerushalayim. Every single nation cannot avoid Yerushalayim. They're all coming against the holiness of Yerushalayim. And it says here, they can't do it without us. The Gam Al Yehuda, and the apostles, they will be punished. They will drink from this basin of poison and they will perish. And unfortunately, there's going to be collateral damage. There are going to be Jews that are going to go down with them. You know why? Because the Jews, many of the Jews themselves, are the ones who assisted the Ummah Yisraelim in their hate and in their wicked plans. V'gam al Yehuda. What's Yehuda? According to the Mitzvah Stavit, it means the people of the Ore Yehuda, which I'm telling you now doesn't just mean the physical cities. It means people who are identify as members of Yehuda scattered throughout the world, Yiyeh b'matzar, they will also participate in the siege that the Umos HaOlam are laying the trap, that the Umos HaOlam are laying against Klal Yisrael, and the Umos HaOlam in fact could not even do it without the people of Yehuda that are participating, which are all joining to do what? The siege al Yerushalayim. And as the Pasuk explains, unfortunately these Jews will also drink from the Kois HaTarela, the basin, or the Seifel of poison. Okay, the Mitzvah Stavit is saying something which I think is extremely relevant in our generation, probably more so than ever due to the complexity of the world and how the technology, how we're all interconnected. It's unbelievable. The words of the Pasuk, according to the Mitzvah Stavit, they literally leap off the page. This is the world that we're living in. This is exactly what's happening. Pasuk Gimel in the Mitzvah Stavit. Now we're describing these very amazing terms about Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is something that no one in the world can avoid. Even Ma'amosa. What does this mean? Yerushalayim is a stone that's immovable. The word Ma'amosa means it cannot budge. It cannot be budged. El Mul Ho'amim Hatsoivim Olecha. Regarding the nations of the world that are gathering against Yerushalayim, ke'ev tiyeh ke'evin kiveda samasa, Yerushalayim will be something they cannot get rid of. They cannot ignore. It's something which is unavoidable, and there's no way they can just brush it under the rug and forget about it. Shekol ho'oim simoisa, anyone that tries to move it away, to carry it away. Oh, you may seem like a burden that you carry it on your shoulder. Let's just get rid of it. It should not be part of the agenda, part of our activities. We shouldn't have to deal with it. Anyone that tries to move it away, yisritu soretes bebesodom, it's as if they will end up gashing themselves, cutting a deep cut into their flesh. Uvidehem, and in their hands, leroiv hakoyve, due to the abundance of its weight. Ritzoy leloima, what does this mean to say? Kol hanulchamim olecha yilk, anyone that tries to fight, anyone that tries to battle against it, will be smitten. Ulefi shem shila le'evin kiveda samah, since the metaphor is a stone that is immovable. Omar lashoin hanoifel ba'anashim hamerimim evin kaved. So we use terminology of people who carry heavy stones. They typically have cuts and gashes in their flesh due to the intense weight of carrying stones. This is the terminology we use, so we're going to use this terminology in reference to our enemies. Next words, v'nesu olecha, etzla nirit, b'samach lo yichlu v'yitamu, kol goy haaretz, all the nations will perish alongside of it or because of it. It's like a minefield. I remember always, there's always bubbles in my head. Rabbi Beryl Wine, he should be live and be well. He would say that kashrus, rabbanim, you know, in New York, if you're a rav in New York, in Flatbush, you don't have to deal with kashrus. You don't have to do anything, in fact. You do whatever you want to do because there's an organization that takes care of everything for you. There are chapels that deal with the dead. There are kashrus organizations that deal with food. And there are yeshivas to take care of chinuch, and there are everything is taken care of. There's an organization for every single thing. But once you leave the Dalit Amos of New York and you become a rabbi out of town, somewhere even near New York, it's your problem. If you're the rabbi, kashrus is your problem. Education is your problem. Shabbos is your problem. Everything, the burying the dead is your problem. Everything is your problem. So many rabbanim throughout this country and throughout the world have to deal with kashrus. And he dealt, Rabbi Beryl Wine, he was one of the senior administrators in the OU, in their kashrus division for many years. And he said, kashrus is a landmine that every single rabbi, without exception, gets blown up in. No one comes out of kashrus with clean hands. It's impossible. It's impossible.
Why?
That's the nature of the business. Become a rabbi. Now that you retired from dentistry, it's time for you to take on a new profession. Become a rabbi, and you'll come back in 10 years, and you'll tell us what goes on in the kashrus world. But it's a landmine, and here it says, when here the pasuk says something a little bit different than what Rabbi Elwine said, and that is in regard to the Umay Sa'olam, Yerushalayim, the issue of Jerusalem is a landmine that every single head of state gets blown up in. Every head of state in this world, no matter what country you represent, you must deal with the issue of Jerusalem. BDS, of anti-Semitism, of everything that relates to Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, the Arabs, Palestinians, Arabs, v'chulu v'chulu. You cannot ignore this. You have to take a stand. Are you going to have peace with Israel, or are you going to be the enemy of Israel? Every single head of state, no one, b'li yoytzei min haklal, can avoid the issue of Yerushalayim. The last time I went to Eretz Yisrael, a year and three quarters ago, so I was by the Kosel, Hamaravi, and I was just sitting there doing nothing, and I was just loitering. And I was just watching, taking in the scene of all the tourists. It was Hanukkah. It was before, a little before, it was Hanukkah, right, exactly, it was Hanukkah. And it was just hilarious. You have to do this. Next time you go to Eretz Yisrael, after you do what you do, you dive in, you learn, and you do whatever you do, just sit down for 15 minutes and watch. Just watch. Watch what happens in a 15-minute period of time in the middle of the day. How many people come to the Kaisel? How many different people all over the world? It's amazing. In 15 minutes, what I saw in 15 minutes, if you go back, you know, if you would go back, let's say, 100 years ago, it would take 100 years. The amount of activity that I saw in 15 minutes is equivalent to the amount of activity that took place in 100 years, going back 100, 200 years ago. And what did I see? I saw Chinese, a whole tourist group of Chinese people come to the Kaisel, and I saw a soccer team. I don't know from which country. They came dressed in scarves. These very interesting scarves. They come to the Kaisel, they start dancing, taking videos. I don't even know if they were Jewish. They came to the Kaisel, and then there was some other, all different types of interesting people. But the one that took the cake was, I'm just sitting there innocently, and all of a sudden walks in. He looks like a diplomat. He looks like a head of state. I don't know from what country. I have no idea who he was. He must have been a prime minister or...
Yeah, then they would have cleared the place.
No, they did. And they didn't clear the place. He obviously wasn't the country that was, so important. But he obviously was someone very chashuv, because he came with an entourage and security and a whole bunch of... people surrounding, a whole entourage, and a camera crew, a professional camera crew was following his every move. Okay, not just someone with a smartphone. We're talking over the real deal. And he comes, he's dressed in a suit, and I was laughing out loud. He was a guy, obviously, and every twitch was calculated because he was being filmed. And obviously this video is going to be played back home in this country to all the people of the world to show his position. No, he wasn't there, but to show his position on the state of Israel. And he was perfectly groomed, and he was dressed, and it was scripted, and he comes to the Kosel, and the camera guy is, on his face, and he puts his hand on the wall, and he bows his head. I don't know what he does. And he's wearing a yarmulke that didn't fit him. The politicians... And they're taking pictures, and he looks around, and then he goes away. Obviously, he's here to make a statement. He has a head of state. My position towards Israel is I'm a supporter of the state of Israel, v'chulu v'chulu. Yerushalayim is something that is unavoidable. Every leader of the world has to take a side. It is not something that you can just say, listen, it's not my agenda, it's not my problem, we don't deal with this. No, it's something that you have to take aside. Are you with us or are you against us? Is there peace? Do you support BDS? Do you object? What have you done? Are you an anti-Semite? What is your definition of anti-Semitism? It is something that no one in the world can avoid. And whatever you do, you're going to get blown up, one way or another. And that's what it says over here in this pasuk. Pasuk Dalet. And what's going to happen on Bayamo on that fateful day? Pasuk Dalet. Bayamo on that day, we're on this musical. Say, Ya'abdu Abira Salev Ke Odom Hame Samea Umis Yoish. On that day, I will smite Akeh Kol Sus Betimahon. What does mean Betimahon? It means in bewilderment. A horse ordinarily is bold, arrogant, confident, and it says it will be destroyed of the abiras halev. What is a good translation with abiras halev? It means the arrogance, the abiras halev, a person's heart, the security, the confidence. That's what I'm looking for, the confidence. The confidence. A horse is confident. It believes in itself. But on this day, the horses, for some bizarre reason, are going to be in a state of timahon, of bewilderment. Okay? Bashigaon. What does the word bashigaon mean? It means they're going to also, and the people who drive the horses, they're going to be smitten with insanity. Ritzon Eloimar, lo yilachamu kiseder tachsitzei hamulcham. They're not going to fight in an ordinary battle. They're not going to follow the rules. They're not going to follow the protocols. They'll base Yehuda haboim litzbo al Yerushalayim. Those that are coming to collect, to gather against Yerushalayim. Imo amim aleihem efkach. Hashem says, I will open up my eyes. Hashem says, I will pay close attention. There will be hashkacha protest. I will open up my eyes. Lahashkiach bohem shelo yovdu imo amim. That Klali Yisrael should not be destroyed. Hashem will protect us on that day. Because these people are coming not for our benefit. I will smite them with blindness. So he's saying over here is that this, according to the Mrs. David, is that the horses, it's the same horses. Because the first time it does not say the word amim. The first time it mentions horses, it says kol sus. The second time it mentions horse, it says v'chol sus ha'amim. The Mitzudas David understands that it's the same horses. And now, in addition to being smitten with bewilderment, they will be smitten with blindness. I can be ivaron v'lo yiru ono yelchu v'yidalgu al an shehem v'yir mesum. And it'll be friendly fire. The umay sa'olam will kill themselves. They will self-destruct. Avol beis Yehuda sheyiu imorem b'machne lo yu nizoykim mehem ki amokom yashkiach bohem. Now here he says, okay, it's not so clear what this means, because the Mitzudas David appears to contradict himself. Above he said that the Anshe Yehuda, they will drink from the Seifel, the basin of poison. Where it seems from the beginning of the pasuk is that they are participants. They're evil. And here it says
willing
that...
participants.
What?
You said willing.
Willing participants. And here it says Hashem is going to be Beis Yehuda Efkach Es Einai. What you can just simply say is that here it says Beis Yehuda. In the beginning of the pasuk it says Yehuda. And the Mitzudas David says it refers to the Ore Yehuda. Here it says the Beis Yehuda. So I am suggesting to you that they're not the same. That the Beis Yehuda refers to the good people. The good people, the people that are sincere, Yirei Shemayim. On those people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to open up his eyes and to protect them from the evils of these wicked people. But on the people of Yehuda, referring to the Ore Yehuda, as the Mitzudas David explains, refers to the self-hating Jews who are participants, conspirators, who are causing us damage. They will also drink from the basin of the poison that the Ubay Salem will drink from. Okay, that concludes the Mitzudas David. Now let's see Rashi. Back in the previous pasuk, back in the previous page, on page 828 in Rashi. Rashi says, Masod Rashem hu gemar ze adavar sheischil adaber bepur anuson shel oichle yisrael eisev achiyatzebo. Okay, I don't know what he's referring to, the gemar, but he's over here coming over here to refer to the punishment. Over here we are discussing.
The note says, yeah. This reading appears in manuscripts. In printed editions, however, we read considering Bavel an obvious censorship.
I mean, here it says instead of Esav, our edition it says.
In other words, this is the correct edition.
It's Esav.
Yeah.
Okay, so the correct edition is then we are describing here Esav. Edom. We are describing the punishment that will come upon the nation of Edom, which is Esav. I guess we are continuing in the timeline. We learned about the Chashmonaim, and then after the Chashmonaim, we learned about Hurdis and his dynasty.
And Rome.
And then comes Rome. Okay, Hurdis was the segue between the Chashmonaim and Rome. Hurdis was a slave to the Chashmonaim, who rose up, rebelled, and took the reins of Malchus. And Hurdis was close with the Romans. So we learned about the Chashmonaim, and then we went to the Malchus of Hurdis, which was a slave of the Chashmonaim, which segued into the Romans. The Romans destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. We suffered exile by them for all these years. And now we are going to describe what will come upon them, the Acharis Hayomim. Pasuk Beis, Safra Al. So we learned in the Mitzvah, Saf means a Seifel. The letter Pei is missing, it's concluding letter, the Lamed. And then Rashi does the same exact thing. He says, Kli Tar Ela, a utensil, a basin, a utensil of poison. Kimo Badom Asher Basaf. Also here, he's this is something very fascinating. He's thinking of something very different. He says a Kli, and then he quotes a Pasuk. The word Saf means the threshold. Okay, it says the blood, Asher Basaf, in Shemos, that refers to the lintel. That does not refer to like the threshold.
A kli. It's not a kli. It's talking about the door.
The door. The saf is ordinarily the. So I don't understand. I don't know what this Rashi means then. Because a saf, I saw the word the first time, I assumed it means a door, a doorway, a threshold. The mezuzah and the lintel and really the saf is the base. The lower portion of the ground underneath the door. But the Mitzudo Estav made it very, very clear the word safir means a seifel. It means a basin. And there's liquid inside the basin. The reason why the Mitzudo Estav said that is because if it means the door, then how do you have poison? Where's the poison? So therefore, that's why I said safir is seifel. It's a basin. It's a bucket. It's a receptacle. And in the receptacle, you pour poison. And the enemies will drink from this poison. But Rashi, he connects this pasuk to Badom Asher Basaf, when Hashem will witness the blood that is sprinkled, that is splattered upon the threshold, which I guess is a generic term referring to the mezuzah and the mashkoif, then Hashem will pass over. So Saf literally means the lower portion of the floor under the door. But I guess in the Pasuk, of the way it's described in the Pasuk, is it's a reference to the entire apparatus, the entire entranceway.
No, which Basaf does not mean Mashkof over there. In that Pasuk it says, V'lekachtem agudas ha'ezer v'tavaltem badam asher basaf v'gatem el
ha'mashkof. Oh, okay, so I made a mistake.
Was in a
basin, okay, I'm sorry. So there it says, you shall take the blood of what? The blood we got, you shall take the blood of what? The blood of the Karm Pesach?
Yeah.
Okay, I made a mistake. Okay, the Saf indeed means the basin. There it says that when they slaughtered the Karban Pesach, they did Kabbalah Saddam. The
but
blood.
It does have the other meaning as well.
Okay, there's another translation. Okay, Bigson and Seresh, they were guardians of the Saf, which is the entranceway. The entranceway, which is a catch-all word for the doorway, which includes the lower portion of the door where you step on, plus the mezuzos, the side post, and the lintel, the upper post. Okay, but over here in this, it also means badom asher, you shall take the ezov, the hyssop, and you shall dip it into the basin, into the blood, and the blood is collected into the saf. Okay, so that's what means over here. Ra'al, what is Ra'al? Ra'al, it's l'shoin shimamoin, oitim halev, it means that we translated. What?
Anesthesia.
But we know it means the closing of the heart. Ve'hoivarim me'ein koyach adam hame'utof b'simla, to be enveloped, just like you have the word to be enveloped. Kmo habiroshim horolu, the broshim horolu to be enveloped.
Enwrapped.
Broshim, what's the broshim mean? Haralu.
Cypress tree.
What?
The broshim are the cypress trees.
And what's the, how do they translate the word haralu in that passage?
We're enwrapped.
Enwrapped. Okay, so he's saying the word ra'al. Ra'al means it's a state of mind. It's not a physical poison. It's not a mashke. The Mitzudais David translate the word ra'al as liquid poison. Okay, something that you can touch and feel. It appears that Rashi disagrees. Ra'al means it is a frame of mind where the person is basically in a daze. He's in a daze, brain fog. He is suffering from extreme brain fog. And when a person is in such a masjid, you feel like you're wrapped up. You're wrapped up in a state of confusion. That's how it's over here. This is what it says over here. Shimamon means desolation. Oitem halev, the heart is closed. Verho evarim, the person's limbs are also shut down. Me'ein koyach, ke adam, like a person, hamutaf besimla, as if you are enwrapped in a garment. Just like when you're wrapped up in a garment so you feel something physical surrounds you, when a person is in a state of mind where he's immobile because he has no koyach, and his mind is not clear, and he's broken, he feels like he's wrapped up in his tzaras. Kimo habereshim horalu. Hasheirois vehoro alois. These are jewelry. Jewelry. Uvaloshim, the different types of sheirois means chains.
Bracelets
and veils. So the veil is something which envelops a person. Uvaloshim mishnah matzinu modiois ruulois. What does it mean in the Mishnah? Modiois ruulois. What's the modiois? Women that are wrapped up in shmatas. From Moda that are wrapped up in shmatas. Women from Moda that are wearing these elaborate shawl, what's it called? Shawls? Shawls?
Shadurs, or in Iran it's the shadur, in other Arab countries, what's the other term for it? What you see, they're totally
enveloped in some type of material. Okay, next. Vegan al Yehuda. Now, here the Rashi is coming to disagree with
French.
Rashi here is coming to disagree with the Mitzvah stuff. And he says over here, it says with the Vegan al Yehuda, Yotilu Hagoyim Asher Yehiyu Vamatsor al Yerushalayim. What does this mean? Let's read the second part of Rashi, explains the first part of Rashi. Sheyiyu Base David mibefnim v'chumos yotsuru aleim. Base David will be inside the city mibefnim v'chumos, the nations yotsuru aleihem, will lay siege v'yaviu, they will bring gam es b'nei Yehuda al karchom, against their will lotsur al Yerushalayim. So he's learning. Kane tell him Yoinasan, and let's see the Ois Alpha on the side. The Avo Gam Bnei Yehuda al Karcham, return to Loimar, Oisam Bnei Yehuda Shehim Chutzli Rushalayim, Yotilu Hagorul Aleihem, Sheyelchu Imohem Bal Karcham, Al Yerushalayim Vakalavin. They will cast, so he translates the word, Vagamu Yotilu means to cast a goyrol. What do you mean a lot? It means just basically, I think it just simply means that they're going to force them. Okay, so over here, the way the Mitzudas David learned, the way Rashi learned, it's much clearer than the Mitzudas David, is that they have done nothing wrong. The people living in Yerushalayim are in siege. But then there are Jews that do not live in Yerushalayim. And those Jews are going to be forced to participate in the siege against their will. They're going to be forced to do harm to their own brethren by participating in the siege. Now, obviously, if that's the case, they're not going to be punished. They're not going to suffer the consequence because they've done nothing wrong. Now the problem is that the Mitzvah Stavid did not say that. Go back to the Mitzvah Stavid that says over here, the last words of the Mitzvah Stavid in this section says, "Vegam hema yilku b'tchila im ho'amim." Now I assume that means that the Bnei Yehuda are going to also be punished together with the nations of the world. Now, and that's correct. When it says the word hichrichu means not to be taken literally, that the Umay Sa'olam, they forced them, but it means that the Umay Sa'olam were forced themselves to do this because they could not achieve the success without our help. Something along those lines. I don't know. We have to see. We have to really see. But from Rashi, you don't get that impression. Rashi seems to indicate very simply that the siege was staged against the city of Yerushalayim. But Yerushalayim is not the only place where Jews live. Jews live all over the world. And the Ummah Yisrael are going to collect the Jews all over the world, and they're going to torture them by bringing them to the siege and forcing them to participate in laying siege to Yerushalayim. That's what Rashi one more time. Gamal Yehuda, Yotilu Hagoyim. And the side of the parish of Yerushalayim, you have to add Yotilu Hagorol. It's really it a word into the Rashi. Upon the Jews who live throughout the world, the nations of the world will cast a lot. That is an expression which means they will force them to participate. Asher Yehu, to participate in the siege,
yes,
to contribute towards the success of the siege, Ba'avamotzar al Yerushalayim, against the city of Yerushalayim. And now Rashi elaborates in more detail. Sheyiyu beis David mibifnim. Who lives in Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh? The family of David, the Malchus of David, Yehuda. But v'ha'umois yotzuru aleihem, and the nations of the world, milchem eskoygu mavu, will lay siege to Yerushalayim. And what else will they do? They will go and collect Jews throughout the entire world. The Aviu Gam es b'nei Yehuda, that live outside of Yerushalayim, al karcham, to participate in the siege against their own will. Lotzur al Yerushalayim. Kain Tirgim Yoinus, and we'll see a little bit later. Pasuk Gimel Even Ma'amosa. And now we are describing on that day Hashem says, I will set Yerushalayim as a stone that cannot be budged. Rashi, Even Ma'amosa, Even Masoi. The word Ma'amosa, Rashi says, comes from the word a burden. Masoi, Hu Hamuteles al Bnei Adam, that many people have to carry. Mipi Hamoishel, through the command of the leader, the ruler, Losesa, to lift it up, Ule Omsa, and to carry its burden, al kiseifam, on their shoulder.
To load it on their shoulder,
vihi kveida me'oid, and it's too heavy. The demand that the Moishel puts upon the people is more than they can really do. Ad asher kol omseha, anyone that actually participates in trying to move the stone, soroit, Yisareitu, their flesh is gashed. You ever see when they have a state funeral, maybe even was it Reagan? I remember. So the casket weighs tons. They have these. I don't know why they do this. What? It's no pine. It's not a pine box. Some of these heads of state, the casket weighs literally thousands of pounds. And if you ever see the procession, they have shifts. They have a whole bunch of soldiers that carry the casket a couple of feet, and they put it down, and a new team comes to take over. Why? They literally don't have the koyach. They only can muster enough strength to lift up this massive casket a couple of feet, and then someone else takes over. So that's the same thing over here. Over here, there are these massive, massive stones, and it's literally impossible to carry them. And the people who have no choice but to follow the command of the king by penalty of death, what ends up, what happens to them? They're ripped to shreds. The weight is so intense, their bodies are ripped apart. Pasuk Dalet, Akeh kol sus hatzavim sham b'shigo in Hashem, says, I will smite every horse that gathers there with Shigoin, the word Shigoin was used in reference not to the horse.
No,
okay, it was used in reference to the rider. To the rider. And this Ois Beis. Okay, and the Ois Beis, the size is Hatzavim Sham Betimahoin, he is the word Betimahoin, Vivaroin, Viesrech Vahem Beshigoin, Kachzach Legos. He says this is the second Gersa to reflect what it says correctly in the Pasik. Viesrech Vahem Beivaroin, Aval Albeis Yehuda, Shem Al Korcha Minatzavim. So Rashi is learning that it's the same thing. Rashi, I made this suggestion in the Mitzudas David that there are two different groups of Yehuda. There is Yehuda Stam, which he called the Or Yehuda, and then there is the Base Yehuda. Rashi clearly disagrees. Rashi learns that Yehuda and the Beis Yehuda are exactly the same. And that's why Rashi in the beginning did not make any mention that it's going to be punishment to the people of Yehuda. Because since the end of the since the Pasuk at the end clearly says it's not going to be punishment to the Beis Yehuda, and if we're going to suggest that the Beis Yehuda is the same as Yehuda, so there's not going to be any punishment. The Aval Beis Yehuda Shem Al Karchem Minat Soivim Efkach Einayil, I'm going to open up my eyes to protect them. L'hagein Alehem Min Hamakah Hazos, from this Makah, they will not suffer. Okay, so that's the Mitzvahs and Rashi. Let's just do a touch, a little bit taste of the Rashi, and then we'll stop. Going back to the previous page, page 829, Masad V'Hashem Achar Shezochar Pur'onus Yisrael V'Churban B'Horitz Pa'amayim. After Zechariah has discussed numerous times the suffering of the Jewish people and the Churban of the land, now we're getting to the good stuff. Now we're going to focus on our redemption, the Geula, the Geula Hasidah, because the Shmur is going to protect us when it comes to Mashiach. Hisnabe al Tov Yisrael. Finally, we get to some good news. Finally, the good of Yisrael upur anus ha'umos and the punishment of the nations for Omar. Masod Rashem. What is it? I'm sorry. Nu'um Hashem, Nu'um Hashem, Noit Hashem, V'yos Eretz, Kolemar, Ki hu bora Shemayim V'aretz, Hashem is the creator, V'yodol hakol lin toitz. Hashem can smash, ula harois, to rip apart,
demolish,
livnois, this is the pasuk, he's quoting the pasuk, the pasuk in Yeshaya, I think it's pasuk. Livnois to build, lintoya, maybe it's Yirmi, the Yeshaya, Yirmi, lintoya to plant, v'zohar adam kumosh, om Yeshaya, the adam oleha varasi. I've created man upon the earth. Man has been created upon it. Kilomar, Vani, Higlesi Yisrael, Yodil Halosam, Agolus, Ulinokim, Meriveim, Hashem says, I am the Creator, I have put you in exile, I will redeem you, I will restore you to your land. Chosachachachim, Rabbi Avram ibn Ezra, Kisomach, Yoitze, Ruach, Odom, Mikibur, Lenot, Eshram, Yis, Eretz. What's the juxtaposition of these two concepts? Lefisha, Odom, Oilam, Koton. Look at this beautiful idea. A human being is a miniature world, Kineget, Shemaim, Ba'aretz, Shehu, Oilam, Godol. The reason why we juxtapose the Yotzer Ruach Adam Bikirboi was making a drasha. A human being, in a human being, there is every single element of the Shamayim and the Arts. Isn't that an amazing idea? You look at this world, and the world is vast. There is the Shamayim, the Arts, but you know something? Every single quality, every single element that you will find in the Shamayim, including Mars, just because they can fly helicopters on Mars, big deal. Man has in him Mars. You don't have to go, man, every element, every discovery they will make in other planets is really already inside a human being. Everything they will discover on this earth, even all the way down, deep down into the seas, is all included in a human being. In Adam is an oilam mole. Within a human being, there is everything. Everything that exists in the world. And that's the purpose of this drasha. It says, Hashem is noit ha-shamayim. He spreads out the heavens. Number two, he is yoseid oretz. But if you want to know what's out there in the shamayim, if you want to know what's to be found in the Aretz, you don't have to go anywhere. Look at yourself. It's all right in front of you. Your own body, your own neshama, has every single thing that exists in the Shamayim and the Aretz. That's a powerful statement. Okay, go tell that to a scientist today.
Well, as far as the Aretz, Chazal said that Adam was created with
earth from the entire world. Tell this idea. I wonder what would, if you would tell this idea to the biggest scientists in the world today, the people who are involved in space exploration, people who are involved in going in the volcanoes, going down into the seas, bring them all into a room. Biggest known experts in science, understanding this world, what's out there, and tell them this chazal, and tell them this pasuk in Zechariah. How do you say Zechariah in English?
Zechariah.
Zechariah. You tell them this pasuk.
Zach is a very popular name these days.
Zechariah. You tell them this pasuk. You read these words and translate these words. You read them this pasuk, and you read what we just said over here in the name of the Ibn Ezra.
Zechariah.
Zachariah, thank you. Harav, Dr. Colonel Cohn, Shlomo Cohn has taught us the correct pronunciation. Colonel, don't forget Colonel. Harav, Dr. Colonel Shlomo Cohn Shlita. Hagodol. You can say about yourself, Katan, but we say Godol has taught us the correct pronunciation, and this is an awesome Rabbi Avram Ibn Ezra to present this to the Chachmei Umay Sa'ilam that explore the vastness of this world. You don't need to explore anything. It's all right in front of your eyes. In every human being is every single element, every single dimension, any possible thing that you can find somewhere is all right in front of us. That's the significance of the juxtaposition of these concepts, these concepts. Umashamar v'yoytzer ruach adam b'kirbo v'loshim yitzira loy motzanu elu aldavar sheyesh by mamish shu muchosh b'chushim. Why does it say the word yotzer? The word yotzer does not fit with the word ruach, because the word yotzer is only used in relation to an adavar that you can touch, material,
tangible.
Something you can touch and feel. The neshama cannot be touched or felt. It's nothing physical. So it would appear the word is incorrect. It's not the correct use of the words. He explains, Loshen Yitzir Loi Motzanu El Al Davar Sheyesh Bei Mamashu Muchash Bachu Shemekani, felt with a person's senses. V'loi Chein Aruach Noimar. The answer is, I will say to you, Kimash Amar V'yoytzer Amar Al Yitziras Kilei Haguf. The word Yotzer is referring to the host of the neshama. Hamekablim koyach haruach. What is the host? And he adds two words which are very interesting. Vehem hamoach vehalev. The Abarbanel, the Mitzudah stuff, the Radak says that in the body there is the heart and the mind, and there is an element of the neshama that is hosted in the heart and hosted in the mind. Does he mean the physical heart that is beating? No one knows what this means. What does it mean, the heart? What does it mean, the heart? Does it really mean that an element of the neshama is in the person's heart, in his chest, on his left side? Or is the heart really a reference to the brain? It's a dimension of a person's brain that is controlling the heart. No one knows what this means. I mean, this is a big debate when it comes to stem cell brain death. Okay, a person, the doctor will say that the stem cell is dead. It's as dead as can possibly be, but the heart is still beating. Is the person still alive? So this is a big, big debate amongst the Gedolei Yisrael. Can you pull the plug? If the brain is no longer functional, all of our instruments today indicate that there is absolutely no activity in the brain, including the stem of the brain. But yet for some reason the heart is still beating. Is the person halachically alive or dead? Can you pull the plug and stop the heart because the person already is dead? So some of the Gedolei Yisrael say, absolutely. Absolutely. Dead is dead. The heart is beating. That's like the tail of a lizard. That's just wiggling. And some will say, no, we don't know everything that goes on in this world. It can very well be that there's an element of the neshama that resides inside the heart. There's a part of the neshama that resides in the brain, and there's an element of the neshama that resides in the heart. Isn't that exactly what the Radak says? The Radak says that when it says here the word Yotzer, Yotzer is the physical host that is supporting, that is a host for the neshama. And where is the neshama? He says a powerful statement. The neshama is broken into two parts. There is an element of the neshama that's in the brain, an element of the neshama that's in the heart. And most of us have a hard time dealing with that because we don't think it like that. We think that there's only one neshama. The neshama is two parts. The neshama is one part. It's one thing. The neshama. There are two parts in the neshama that coordinate. They have Wi-Fi between them. The brain and the heart. How do they communicate? Wireless or not wireless? How does it go exactly? Okay. Is it maybe? I think many people will tell you that when it says heart, it doesn't mean the heart that's beating. It's referring to the brain that is controlling the heart. Who knows? No one knows. No one can really give you an answer to these questions. No one really knows. Machlek sapoiskim, and when it comes to stem cell brain, that they always, the big poiskim say, they always tell the people involved in these matters, you decide. You decide, and whatever you decide, you're correct. Because it's machlek sapoiskim, and no one really can give you a definitive answer. And you have to make a decision. Whatever you feel is the correct thing to do, that is the correct thing to do. Because who knows? But this indeed is a very fascinating Radak, how he describes the host of the neshama, where he breaks it up between the moyach and the leif. Okay, we're going to stop here, take a short break. After the break, we have a very controversial topic today. I want to talk about racism in halacha and slavery in halacha. Okay? It's in Yoni Diyoima. Brace yourself, Rabbi Yisai. It's not a joke. Protect yourself. You have to mamash, brace yourself. This is serious business. I hope our mayor knows what he's doing. He has the police out in force to protect.
He has the police out to make sure no one bothers the looters.
It's not pasha. Be careful. Be very careful. Stay indoors.
My friend said he's not going to work in Manhattan today. He's scared.
I'm scared to walk the streets in Brooklyn. I walked home last night. I came in contact, and I just passed on the street an African American, and he gave me this dirty look. What did I do to you? What do I have with you? What's this all about? This dirty, nasty look. For what? All right, we'll be back in a few moments. We'll talk about, we'll go through two chapters in this fantastic book. We've spent some time, headlines. Headlines number 3 from Rabbi David Lichtenstein. It's really a fantastic article. Two fantastic articles about the topic of racism and about slavery in the eyes of the Torah and Chazal. Can you just give me a minute to get a cup of coffee?
Now come over here.
The kitchen is locked?
Alan Hellman, 917.
Is Netanyahu having any success in making it happen?
They told me that I should call
it's
you.
It's a lot of public.
Test.
So she's open. Huh? She's open. Yeah, what's there? There's no cups, right?
I have cups.
You brought your own cup?
I have cups, yeah.
Huh? Tell the caller, looking for cups.
You know, the truth is that this should have been thrown out of court. Because of what Maxine Waters said, and we're not sequestered. Any judge who wasn't being influenced by what's going on outside would have thrown the whole thing out.
He didn't want to throw it out.
What?
They asked the judge to throw it out.
Yeah, of course he's not going to throw it out because he's afraid of the rioting.
No, he's not throwing it out because he wants to leave it for appeal. Why should he throw it out? Maybe they'll come out and say he's innocent.
What?
So he doesn't want to throw it out. He's in the middle of the trial.
Yeah.
50% off. If he's innocent, he's innocent. But if he's guilty, they still have a chance to ask for to appeal on a mistrial.
Yeah,
so he's playing it safe.
They
didn't show you on TV. The defense said, we want a mistrial.
I know that.
And he said,
and they should get it.
And he says, no, but you can use this stuff as good for your appeal. Because when you appeal say, I should have been mistrial.
They should have sequestered the jury in the first place.
It's better this way. Much better this way.
It's better for him, but it's not better.
It is better for the whole.
Whether he's found guilty
or
innocent, there's going to be riots.
Right. Exactly. Whatever's going to happen will be no good. Whatever's going to happen will be no good. For sure.
And